Let's do it Sasquatch style. Blurry.
It's time for Devil's Business.
I shaved my balls for this.
Welcome to the Devil's Business Podcast. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnny, and the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com.
I'm here with Aaron, a.k.a. Sofane, and our special guest, Matthew Lumpkin, a.k.a. Maddie. What's up, guys?
What is going on?
This is the Blue Balls Would Have Been Better episode, and what we're going to do is we're going to tell some sex stories that went awry. Now, before we get into the episode, let's go to our sponsor, My Favorite Sin. Aaron, tell me the promos of the week.
There's a lot coming up. Go to MyFavoriteSin.com and use the promo code SINNER. You'll also find free guest lists from everything from Thursdays at Tongue and Groove, followed up by Anchor Bar After Hours. Friday at Three Sheets is kind of a new thing that I really enjoy. That's been going really well.
It's a good time.
So it's an earlier event. And then after Three Sheets, there's always Friday at Opera with Luminate. Man, go to MyFavoriteSin.com and use the promo code SINNER. Coming up is Snailin', Paul Van Dyke, Benny Benassi, Feed Me, and Eric Prydz are all coming up over the next few weeks, so don't miss that and save some money. Also, Friday night, Cosmo Lava. There's a free guest list on the website. Saturday is Cosmo Lava and Tongue and Groove. Both have free guest lists on the site. Sunday brunch at Buckhead Tavern has been going really well, so check that out. It's a good place to work off your hangover. Also, there's a couple of ticketed events like the Brookhaven Beer Fest that's
right.
coming up. So save some money off some tickets at MyFavoriteSin.com.
Awesome. There's also another event coming up that Matt and the reason I had Maddie come in for the show today.
Because I texted him and said, hey, I want to come in. We have a show coming up in Atlanta.
Y'all have a show coming up in Atlanta?
We have
the Saints and Sinners Comedy Tour has returned to Atlanta after like a year and a half, two years. I don't know.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute. Anyway, we're coming back down. We're doing one in Buckhead at Side Door, Jerry Farber Side Door. It's attached to the Landmark Diner in Buckhead on the 15th of May and the 16th of May.
Well,
the times we have a late show on Friday, right?
Yeah, the Friday show is like 10:30. Got pushed back. There's another event but I'm still kind of looking forward to the late show.
So now. May 15th, the late show is going to get there around 10, and then on Saturday it's going to be an earlier show around 8:30.
I couldn't tell you that.
I don't
pay too much attention.
Doesn't matter. Tickets are for sale online. We'll post that on the Devil's Business website.
There's a promo code for the event, Eventbrite or however they do that, SAS, and that saves you 25%.
SAS. S-A-S gets you a discount promo code. So anyway, now let's go to the new segment, and my new favorite segment is the Tinder Wins of the Week. Matt, let me explain Tinder to you.
I'm going to need somebody too, yeah.
As a married man, you have absolutely no use for this other than the hilarity that ensues on this app. You make a Tinder profile. It's just like kind of like a Match.com, but for people that just want to fuck. And it just shows up pictures of
people. I thought that was called Match.com.
Right.
It is.
Okay. But this is for the dick. You want that now. You want that D now. Or the V, depends what you're into.
It's all the V.
Right.
I think chicks are on there actually trying to find somebody. But what makes Tinder different than like Match.com and some of the others is you just post a couple pictures and you get one little snippet, one little thing that you could say about
yourself. Make a biography of yourself. Just a quick, whatever you want to tell people that see your picture and say, hey, I kind of like this person. I like where they look. They see what they have to say about themselves. And they can either swipe left, which means, no, don't like you. Or swipe right with, yeah.
I've heard left or right. Okay, that makes sense. Okay,
yeah, so you're just going through these people, judging them all
based on just one superficial thing.
It's hot or not. Yes, it's hot or not. Except you could do it while you're pooping. You can get through like 30, 40 people real quick.
Right. And if they swipe right on your picture as well, then it's a match. You both swipe right on each other.
Here's one. Do you get to know if anybody swiped left or right on your picture?
No, you don't.
Only if you match with them. But anyway, I made a new hobby of going on Tinder profiles and actually trying to find the weirder ones.
Okay.
Where I'm sitting there pooping, I like to read their profile because normally they write some of the weirdest, inappropriate shit or just.
This is what I think should sell me.
Yes.
I am my product. This is my line right here. Okay.
Yes. Because this is their only opening.
Yeah. That's right. The one line is just simply, mom's out of town next week. Have the place to myself.
I saw one that just said, I have a Netflix account. wink. Like, like, who doesn't? So
you know what? Hey.
Hey.
So maybe there's a bitch out there. Every 99th bitch doesn't have Netflix and is looking for someone to help them catch up on Gilmore Girls.
So I got into it, and I started asking people to send me their weird Tinder profiles that they've seen, screenshot it, and they sent it to us. So if you go on Tinder or you see somebody with a weird picture or a weird bio or something like that, you send it to us at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. Just take a screenshot, email me there, and I will talk about it on the show. This one Brittany sent me, and it's Will. He's 33 years old. The picture is of him with an Ewok.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous.
That's going to grab attention immediately. That's important, Matt, you see.
Okay, okay, gotcha. It's good. There's an Ewok there. All right.
And
basically, being a Star Wars fan, right when I see the Ewoks, I lose interest still.
Here's what he has to say about himself. Will, 33 years old, says this. I take this all very, very seriously. So incredibly seriously. If you want Mr. half-heartedly swiping around and just seeing what happens, then you've come across the wrong fucking profile, lady. Because I'm here to online date the living shit out of you. Prepare yourself. I love my dog. I get along. I listen. I like to make things. I run. I jump in puddles.
You get that many characters?
I'll fly your kite.
You get that many characters?
Apparently.
That guy talked a lot.
He had lots of shit to say.
He did have a lot to say, but I do really like the line, I will online date the living shit
out
of you.
Yes, that guy was like, how do you swipe left on that?
Yeah, seriously.
The next one, his name is Willie. He is 47. Here's his picture.
Hey, Willie.
He has a very short and to the point bio.
As it should be. We don't have time to read all that stuff.
Willie is looking, and this is all it says, looking to lick women.
Oh.
Fair enough. Right on point. Bam. If you don't want to be licked, don't swipe right for me. That's
all right. I feel like that's going to really narrow your possibilities.
That's maybe what he's wanting to do. He's tired of all the unlickable women.
Yes. The ones that get all upset because
like,
they just want you to take them to dinner.
Yeah.
Here's Michael. He is 34 years old, and he wrote a lot, but this one's probably my favorite one. It says, "Hi, I'm Mike. I've been sent back from the future." The year 4269 to study the female orgasm, which has now been extinct for 100 years due to the lack of interest of sex in the future. The human population is dwindling. I know this seems like a stretch, but bear with me. By going on a date with me and teaching me how to give you an orgasm, you will be doing your part to propagate the human race and in a way save the world. P.S. In the future, it's impossible to lie.
Wow.
You know what?
He's like determined later. Like,
determined later.
Yeah, live with me if you want to come. That's a clever cat right there.
I like it. I thought he was full of shit until that last line. And
he can't lie.
He can't lie.
All right. Here's Jessica. She is 26 years old. And this is another one of those I don't think they understood what Tinder is. Artist, period. Nerd, period. Filmmaker, period. Video games, period. Board games, period. Married, period.
Oh, what the fuck? She sounded great.
She had all those things that she's taken, man.
But there's so many married people on Tinder. It fucking drives me fucking batshit.
Why would they be on there? Are they just
I don't know.
Are they looking to hook up elsewhere?
Well,
or
that's
they just want to be judged?
I'm convinced that they're just unaware of what Tinder thing is. And they think it's just like a social network that they need to be on?
It's not.
Kind of like when you get like a text message from your grandmother because you just figured out the phone and it's like written like a letter, like, "Dear Matthew."
My dearest Matthew, hopefully your birthday went well, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God. here's one I loved. Shady, or Sade, depending on which generation you're from. Is 22 years old. I don't know if you took a
virgin.
I don't know if you took a close look at this picture.
Right, let me see it again. How old is it? She is 22 years old. Okay.
Trans woman of color. If you couldn't tell by the fucking picture of this dude, he looks like a linebacker. It's like, I'm a trans woman of color. Well, no shit. But you know what? I'm telling you, this dude's probably better to date. It's craft beer lover, writer, mermaid.
Whoa. Hey. That's awesome.
And maker of breakfast. I don't even understand what the problem is.
I eat breakfast.
Those are all things. That's why I get being gay. This is the move. If I can find a chick that used to have a dick,
nice.
That's the move.
Nice.
Mermaid is all fishy down there.
This one, Taylor sent me. She sent a picture of this guy, and his name is Nick. He's 34 years old.
I know that guy.
And, yeah.
I feel like he usually sits at this table.
Well, he is bald, wearing a black shirt.
Is that our friend Nick? Could be his bald black shirt.
Let me sit a little bit closer.
Same age group.
He's holding a flower in his mouth.
It kind of looked eerie.
And the thing is that's really creepy about it is he's standing behind a bouquet of flowers, but when you look closely, he's standing in the middle of a cemetery.
Oh, is that a picture from a funeral?
He is standing in the middle of a cemetery.
Oh, that's a picture from a funeral, and he's eating someone's flowers off their casket.
Yeah, look, he's going to skin you alive. Taylor, hopefully you swiped left on that one.
Or he's not. Or he's going to skin you when you're dead.
He's really looking for a size 14.
say, every time we do these Tinder winners a week, this is the second time we've done it, a reference to Buffalo Bill shows up.
Yes. Because,
oh, yeah, he would have been a much more effective serial killer if he had the social media of today.
Yes. Now, we're going to go to the first story. Blue balls would have been better.
Yes.
And we're starting with Matt. You call this story The Dying Ostrich.
Oh, yeah, I call the story there because it was actually in my set for so long, but it's a true story. I don't know. I was maybe like 18, 19 at the time, like right out of high school, right before college. A buddy of mine, Les, was the first one to get his own apartment, his little one-bedroom apartment. And me and my friends would always hang out at his place all the time because, you know, no parents, anything like that. And I stayed at his place so much I had my own mattress. I kept propped up against the wall in the living room, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, just
nice.
Threw it down the floor. And that's where I slept for parties, get-together, stuff like that. This one night, Buddy Harold, me, Les, my Buddy Harold, sitting there drinking. My Buddy Harold's girlfriend shows up, and she brings her new roommate, Jenna.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, after a couple of drinks, Harold takes Jenna on back to his room. Les,
well, I'm looking. I'm doing the numbers right now. There's three dudes, two chicks, and one chick is obviously spoken for. So now it's you and Les going
right,
up to Jenna?
Right. Well, not really. Because, see, Les had actually passed out before the girls got there.
Brilliant, Matt.
I mean,
good move.
Oh, dude, he was like funneling Mad Dog 2020. You know, I told you, 18 years old, this is what you think alcohol is. You can afford it. It's like it was that Orange Jubilee, you know.
Not so bad.
Kick your ass tomorrow morning.
If you've never had it's the nastiest stuff, you know, comes in like the little bottle with the twist-off aluminum cap.
Yeah.
Wine should not have a twist-off aluminum cap.
It's brother Strawberry Hill.
Yeah, wine should not have the twist-off. Wine should be classy and come in a box.
Jesus Christ, right. Trailer Park.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, like Kool-Aid for adults.
Is Kool-Aid gone? Horribly, right?
Yeah, like, how you see? Just have a big old straw on the top. Anyhow, he passed it on the stuff. So
it's like a giant Capri Sun.
So Shannon and my buddy Harold go back to Les's bed. He's passed on the couch, and it's just me and this Jenna girl just sitting there, and start talking. Like, hey, we can just drop this mattress on the floor. And
wow, redneck smooth.
Yeah.
Nice. That mattress doesn't have to be propped up against the wall.
Yeah, you can always be laying right here on the floor. So just threw it down on the floor, and me and her start going at it. And she starts making this sound that I can only, like as we're doing, like, starts making this sound I can only describe as being that of a dying ostrich.
What did it sound like? You stud! You made her retarded.
I didn't know what. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, put a spoon in her mouth.
She swallowed her tongue.
So, like, when she starts making that sound, I'm like, I look at her. And her face is contorted to match the sound. Like, you know, like she got one eye shut, you know, the jaw, the jaw cocked down. Like she's like, oh, thank you very much. You know, the jaw. So she's got that face. And I'm like, well, I can't look at that. So I look away. When I look away, Les is now wide awake.
Well, as it will.
What's this? Like a fire alarm going on. You know what?
He just suddenly see him rolling around the floor.
Like grabbing his pants and stuff. Like, no, he's just looking at her like, what the hell is that? I'm like, dude, I don't know. So I can't look there and see him because he's watching, too, at the same time. He's not watching like, oh, this is hot. He's watching like, what in the hell is wrong with this girl? So I can't look at that. So I looked the other way, and there was a mirror that was also propped up. That's all we did in this apartment. We just propped stuff up against walls.
Decorating.
So there was a mirror there. So I can't look at that because the mirror, I can still see that face, you know. And so I did the only thing I could think of to do, which I grabbed a pillow.
Oh, God.
What the fuck?
I didn't apply force. I just laid it over her head.
This would be better if you were unconscious.
I just, like, laid it over her head. Dude, I was 18. Like, you know, I just laid her head. I can still hear it through the pillow.
Yeah, but when does it turn into a struggle?
So I realize I did something. To my knowledge, I'm the only man in the history of the world to ever do this. I faked it.
I've faked it before, too.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like pulling the ripcord.
Yeah. Yeah, you're at the end of the line. Things have gone terribly wrong.
Like pull out gun, you know, spit on her belly. So I go to the bathroom. By the time I come back out, she's already like got her stuff. She's like, all right, thanks. And she just goes, waits in the car. You know, for
what?
Yeah. She was like, all right, thanks.
Jesus Christ, woman.
Okay. So I go to sleep. By the time I get to work the next day, Les has already told everybody I know, everybody I graduated with, you know, everybody went to the, like, played on the team with, everybody I worked with, all of my friends for years are calling me, like, you know, ostrich fucker.
it's not a clever nickname.
It's not. They're all making these bad puns, like, hey, are you in a foul mood? Is that what it is? You're looking for a chick with long legs? Like, yeah. So years go by, and me and Emily start dating. And Emily's my wife now. And on our second date, we run into Les. He tells her the story of the dying ostrich.
What a true friend.
Couple months after that, me and Emily are finally making love for the first time in the heat of passion. She's listening right now and goes, this is it. This is the one I'm going to marry right here. So
that's how you know you're going to marry her.
Yeah, right? That was it. So we get married. We have a couple kids. Nice. Years later, I am on the road in Omaha, and I get stay in this hotel. I get back to my room afterwards. My wife calls me and says, you have been reading to our daughter. And the daughter's 3 years old at the time. I said, yes, I have. I can tell. Well, she could tell because she read her this same story that I always read when I'm at home. And the book was called I Love My Daddy Because. And they're like, I love my daddy because he plays with me. And it shows monkeys playing. And she would see the monkeys like, ooh, ooh, ah, you know. I love my daddy because he takes naps with me. And there's lions sleeping on a tree. And she'd roar, you know. I love my daddy because he runs with me. And it's two ostriches. My three-year-old looked up at my wife and went,
it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
I know, because the first time I read it to her, she wanted to know what an ostrich sounded like. I'm like, well, this is what I'm calling the dog.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I have no clue if that's what an ostrich sounds
it
like.
Sounds I've never
actually,
nothing like
I've never
that.
Actually heard of it.
How the fuck? Do you have one?
We had ostriches growing up.
You had ostriches? Not emus, ostriches.
Ostriches. We also had emus.
What does an ostrich
and
sound
and
like?
I can't do that. I can't do that. Oh, God.
I love it because that story is just going to be with you forever. Like, because now that's going to be passed out. Like,
it was like the worst little. It was so bad.
I'll tell you what, next time I go to the zoo and see an ostrich, I got to double check on that.
Hey, throw a rock at it.
He's not even close. He is not even close. That's not. Well, I'm going to take the next story, and I call this, who takes a raincoat off during a rainstorm? This happened about 8 years ago, and I was going out, and there was this tall, beautiful girl. I mean, she was
days
the...
of MySpace.
MySpace dating. I was locked in on her. Matt and I,
so much easier than...
Matt and I had been out on tour for a while, and I had kind of started chatting with her on MySpace, and... I was going to meet up with her. We started kind of seeing each other occasionally, come on dates. She came over one night at like 1 in the morning. I'd been out drinking with my friends.
Well, she knows she's going to be bedded showing up then.
Right. That's the other thing is they get to decide. I don't get to say, well, I can't just show up at her house at 1 a.m. and be like, we're going to fuck now, okay? She's just going to.
Now I got a flower in your mouth.
Yeah, I got a flower in my mouth. I got from the cemetery. I opened the door of my house, and she's standing there. She's all glittery and made up. And I'm just wearing, like, athletic pants. I am not. I'm half drunk. And I'm like,
glittery, like she's got glitter spray.
She's got that glittery makeup shit that girls used to wear.
Yeah, the thing. Spray.
Like, strippers?
Glimmer, spray. That glimmery shit. Okay. And we end up going upstairs to my bedroom, and we end up starting to have sex. But, of course, she requires a condom because she's a classy lady.
Right.
And at that point...
Glitter is not a contraceptive.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So I'm fucking this disco ball. And honestly, half the time, I'm just kind of like high-fiving myself in my head going, you win, motherfucker! And I'm going at it, and I'm literally paying no attention actually to the sex at this point because I'm basically just cheering myself on. And she finishes, I guess. I don't care. And
he wouldn't know.
I like to assume.
I finish. I love that Jenna suit I used to wear. I finish and I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome. But I scurry off to the bathroom. First off, I want to look at myself in the mirror and go like, you stud. Like, really get eye contact with myself. Like, you deserve this, bro.
You
like,
scurried. That is.
You know when you're like, naked, you scurry. There's not a.
Not me, I strut.
Post coitus, my knees are still kind of weak. I don't really.
Staggering.
I'm just.
He becomes like Bambi.
Falling into the wall. He's got it. I rocked your world, right? So I get into the bathroom. I look down because I'm going to take the condom off.
You do want to take that off in private because...
It's a weird thing. Like, hey, I filled up your water balloon. So I go to take off the condom and it's gone. It's not on my wiener. And I'm looking at my dick. Accusatively.
Now, like, is it possible that you just, like, when he went down and just fell off on the scamper or the scurry or the
stagger?
I was half drunk. I don't know.
Is he mall walked to the bathroom?
Well, you would know on your walk back.
Yes. So at this point.
Because you will step on it. It's there.
So at this point, I'm looking around the floor in the bathroom and kind of like in the hallway a little bit. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm looking at myself in the mirror now with a completely different look. Not of satisfaction, but of what have you done?
I thought she was looking at herself in the mirror like Ben Stiller, like making sure it's not the glob on your ear.
I'm looking around. I'm looking at my dick and I'm kind of yelling at him. I'm like, did you eat it? Did you eat that condom? And I now know what had to have happened because it didn't fall off on the run that I could remember. And I'm looked basically towards back towards the bedroom.
You left your poncho at the concert.
Yeah. And I'm now trying to figure out how I'm going to tell this goddess that I might have left the condom somewhere within her. Like, it's kind of like when you leave someone's house after you spent the night. You're like, oh, sorry, I left my bag here with all my stuff.
With all my seed.
All my horribly impregnating things. And so I go back in there, and I'm trying to think of a clever line. Like, I'm a writer, essentially. And I'm like, I can figure this out and smooth it over. Honestly, in my head, I'm thinking, she's never going to fuck me again now after I have to explain this to her.
Well, I don't know. She may be contractually obligated to.
Exactly. It's all dependent on the line that I give her right now, how this is going to get carried off. And I go, hey, is there a condom laying around here? Did you? And she just stares at me with this very solemn stare and just goes, it's in me, isn't it? That's where I would start the search. You start near the body.
You always start in the last place you remember having it.
Right.
She disappears for about 5 minutes. She comes back. She goes, well, I found it. Luckily, I had some whore friends that gave her a morning after pill or whatever.
Okay. Well, it's better than any solution he would have come up with. Like, hey, let's just dump a bunch of peroxide in there and see what happens.
I heard a thing about a Coke bottle. You shove that up there, shake it up, and just fizz it out, right?
Yep. Here we go. Now is the part where we donate all of our knowledge about and our theories on how the human body works. Let's stop sharing before this gets ugly.
Don't worry. She got hers later. She's fucked me so many different times.
Did she ever leave a condom in you?
In my heart, Matt.
She'll have the condom in your heart. Oh, I love it.
That should be a song.
It's got to be with a steel guitar.
It's about the most romantic thing
you
I've
left
ever
a
heard.
Used condom in my heart.
I love it so much.
Anyway, we're gonna go to Aaron for the last story. And Aaron, you're calling this one Hershey Kiss.
There was this young lady I was dating. We went out to a couple bars and we ended up at Bedlam, as you do, and really partied all fucking night. And man, we decided, let's go back to my house and let's get naked with this thing. So we come back to my house and, man, we come through the door and it's one of those nights where you just can't fucking wait. You're just banging down the hallway, stripping clothes off, you know, hitting the walls.
Major league.
Yeah,
nice. Using the cleats to pull the dress off.
Exactly right. It's one of those type of situations. We get to the bed and I just basically plop down on the corner of the bed and she climbs on top. So we're in a sitting position.
Nice.
I'm sitting upright on the corner of the bed, and she's straddling me. And so I put my right hand around to support her under her bottom.
Okay.
And so, man, we're going to town, and this is going really well. And she's so hot, and I'm just like, man, I remember thinking how fucking cool I was.
Well, yeah, you're getting a cop of feel and feel like you're protecting her from falling at the same time.
I'm like, so good. And this has got to, you know, this is, now if only I had the leg strength to stand up and really go porn style with this.
Yeah.
But I don't want to risk it.
I don't do squats.
So we're having sex. It's really hot, and I start to sweat a little bit, and everything's going well. And she twitches a little bit and stiffens up. I feel something on my ring finger. On my right ring finger feels different. There's something about my right ring finger that is like, wait a second, there shouldn't be anything on my finger. She's looking at me, and her eyes are real big. And I pull my hand up, and I kind of look around behind her. Uh-huh. I move my head to look behind her, and I see something on my finger. And it looks just like a little Hershey's Kiss. About the same size, maybe just a little bit smaller, but it's even got the little whoop, little top, you know.
She was clenching.
Now so the thing is, I just jump up and run to the bathroom. Now, she was looking at me like with her eyes real big. She knew something had gone wrong.
You jumped up. What did you do with her?
I threw her. I threw her with my left hand. I went to the left, and I pushed her to my right and took my arm around. I just didn't want her to see it. This is going really well. I didn't finish. I still have an agenda here, and I want to go in the bathroom and assess what the fuck has happened and figure out my next course of action. But I felt like I already knew what happened. I ran in the bathroom, threw on the lights, slammed the fucking door, and look at it. It is clearly, I give it a quick sniff. Clearly.
You had to double check?
She shit on my hand.
Oh,
you banged the shit out of her.
I did bang the shit out of her. And so I slap my, you know, sling my hand toward the toilet and sling it off in the shitter and flush it and start frantically washing my hands. And there's nothing from the other room. There's not a sound from the other room. And so I finish washing my hands. I'm like, all right, I feel like I have antibacterialed this properly. And it's hot girl poop, so it's not like just regular poopy
poop
step.
Poop is poop. Poop is poop. Poop is poop.
No, hot girl poop.
No, there's hot girl poop, Matt. I'll wade through, depending on how hot you are, how much shit I will wade through.
Yes. Physically metaphorically.
Emotionally, it's just...
it's always shit, so the literal version of it isn't that... metaphorical shit with hot girls sometimes is way worse than their actual real shit. Yeah. But anyway, I'm past this. I've antibacterial soap the
it's
fucking
just
shit
a little
out of my
poop.
Finger. Just a little poop. And I'm going through this. And the thing is, Matt, you can't have that shit is shit attitude
okay.
when you're sitting there with a hot blonde
in
the bedroom.
You are shortening yourself in life when you just allow shit to cut out that side of your life.
You can't. You can't sit there with a fucking boner and a hot naked blonde in your bed. And you can't have that, shit on me, and now I got to throw her the fuck out. No. I got business to finish.
You know what? I've lived 35 years on this planet, not once have I had boner and shit on my hand at the same time.
Well, once you get in that situation,
you make a decision. Judge. You can judge me from then.
It's like a pro-choice thing.
When I'm like, 90 years old, and it's like, well, Aaron was right. It's just a little poop.
So I stand there. Once I turn the sink off, I stand there, and I'm just going through, all right, what's your line? What's your line? What do you say? You want to downplay this and make sure that she, like, hey, it was no big deal. I had to run in there because I thought I had poison ivy. And I really needed to wash my hands. So I'm just standing there running through the lines, and I hear from the outside the door, Aaron? And I'm like, yep. Yep, you know, oh, too loud, too enthusiastic.
Which is the same sound I made when I was in, like, middle school, and my dad's like, what are you doing in the bathroom? Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
What? I'll be right there.
Doing something you don't want to be in trouble for.
So she's like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, all right, I'm going to open the door. And she was like, did what I think just happen actually just happen? I was like, I don't know. It depends on what you think. There's this poison ivy story I've got.
I've been working on. And, I'd much rather just let you know I have an infectious skin disease.
I had to go take a shit.
I was pooping. Did you have to poop? Because I have to poop too. Oh,
and
weird.
I really had to get up and go do it. I'm sure you heard the toilet and the 8 minutes of hand washing.
The soft crying.
So I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, it happened, but just a little. And she was like, look, I gotta go. I can't even fucking face this. And then I'm like, no, but it's not over.
I love you. Well, did she go?
She left.
She did go.
She left. So what happened was,
she doesn't understand a little bit of poop.
I spent money on this hot blonde all night, dinner and drinks and clubbing, and then back, and we start to have sex, and she shit in my hand. This story didn't have to be something I was resentful about.
She could have just gotten dinner, drinks, and went home, and it would have been less than to have fuck you and shit on you.
That's right. I've masturbated 1,000 times and only shit a couple of those.
What? It could be your fault. What type of dinner did you buy her?
You got to look at yourself.
We went to that evening. Oh, that's really weird that I remember it, but I remember everywhere we went that night.
Oh, you don't forget no part of the evening.
That ends with you getting shit on?
Yeah, yeah, because you need to know all the steps.
Carrabba's. It was Carrabba's.
All right.
Carrabba's. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't judge Carrabba's.
I went
still
to Macaroni
enjoy
Grill. That pasta would have held with her a little longer.
There weren't choices in Pensacola at the time. And all the other choices? Well, it wouldn't have been a Hershey's Kiss. The name of the store would have been like Chocolate Soup.
Oh, God. That was the one that crossed the line. That was the one.
Sorry, Ernie.
Now you found where our threshold is, Aaron.
I do want to point out one common trait. You're always in all three of our stories. We look at a mirror.
It's got to be made real at some point.
I didn't even notice that.
You got to bring yourself back
to the only
into
other side of the looking glass.
Reality. Like, cause you got to look in the mirror. Like, is it like maybe a quantum leap moment? Yeah. Like, am I still me? Fuck. Oh, damn it, I'm Scott Bakula now. I have never said this. Oh, damn, I'm Scott Bakula.
No, it's like, oh, hell yes!
Scott's in the fucking Bakula!
Actually, Scott Bakula, I cannot think of a single thing he's ever been in that I would not think have been awesome for me to have been in. I could have been the captain
seriously
of the Enterprise. I could have quantum leap in time, yeah.
I could have been Mortal Illusions.
Oh, necessary roughness, I'm all there.
Yes, where the fuck
back
are
to the
you,
minors.
Scott Bakula?
Yes.
Well,
Scott Bakula.
That's so cool. We all just jerked him off.
We found something else we love. poop, sex, Scott Bakula. This brings me to the last segment called The Vent. Fuck, cock, ass, balls, goddamn, motherfucker, god shit.
I hate this.
That's what we was going to name our third child.
How many characters are you allowed to have?
On a birth certificate.
And now we know what's written below his Tinder account, I believe.
This This is the part where we bitch about the shit that pisses us off. It's never sexist. It's never racist. Never anti-Semitic, but it could be racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic. Matt, you have something you want to bitch about? You said it's called Windows.
I am from a little town in Alabama that I seldom go to, all right? And I hate, for the most part, and I'm using the word hate here, I hate holidays. I hate family get-togethers. I hate stuff like that. And it's always because there's certain members of my family I prefer not to see, ever.
That's every family.
Yeah, that's every family has that.
Sure.
But I have been lucky and fortunate enough to find ways to get out of those holidays with the tour schedule. I will always book something at Thanksgiving. I always book something at Easter. And so, and that's what it was. This was Easter. That was not going to make it home. So what I did was I went home a few days early, went back there just to see my grandparents. I just want to see my grandparents, maybe visit with my mom.
Like, right.
Just didn't want to see any of the great aunts or all that, just them. So then my mom says, on your way back, could you please carry this filing cabinet back to your sister? I'm like, no, I don't want to see my sister. You know,
so, she's on the list.
I'm like, she's going to be here Sunday. Just give it to her then. Well, I don't know if it'll fit in a car. So I drive it there, get this thing that I don't want to carry back, take it to somebody that I didn't want to see, and all this because she...
You're the middleman and something that has nothing to fucking do with you.
Nothing at all to do. So we put it in the back of the car. As I'm coming off the interstate, the drawer opens on that filing cabinet. Hits my back window and explodes it. I mean, it just glass goes everywhere. Like, that's also where I found out how quick of a draw I am because it's like right in, like boom. So I did not want to, $260 is what it takes for me to get my window fixed. Now it's not like, oh, this is being chipped in here and chipped in there. Oh, sorry that this happened. No, this is only $260 because I got to do a favor for somebody I didn't want to do a favor for. That I didn't even want to do the favor. I especially didn't want to do the favor for the person I'm doing the favor for, and I get a broken window out of it, and it's just, it's not fair. It's
moral not, of the story is don't pay it forward.
No. It's like, it's this crap happens like so
you
much.
You could have bought her a file cabinet for way less than 200 and something bucks.
And this was the shittiest looking filing cabinet. This thing had to been like, you know, 40 years old. It's made of that particle board. Yeah, particle board. I ruined the rest of my night.
That can do it. Yeah. You're that guy now with a plastic wrap over his back window.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't take much for me either.
I have something I want to bitch about, and it's been winding me up. I can't stand whining. Bitching is one thing,
yeah,
but whining is a different
but
tone.
I never whine.
That's a whine. Yeah. Bitching is different. Getting mad just now. Thinking about it.
I see that.
Because there's always a little bit of
martyrdom. Here's what I have started to notice with what whining, what spawns the whining and really cranks me up, is the word why. When someone says why...
Right.
They're not asking. Why is the root word of whining? Whining. You're a bitch. That's what the problem is. It's like, hey, can you do this for me? And what I say is, no. And then I guess it was your mom that had you bring the file cabinet?
Yeah.
And she goes, but why? Well, because I can't. Yeah, but why? And then, why? If you say why too many times in a row, you are fucking whining and pissing me the fuck off. So I cannot stand when people go, why? 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 What? Why? Fuck you! Why? That's why. Cause fuck you. Sorry, but not sorry.
Why?
Ning.
Whining. Whining. There's always a bit of martyrdom in whining.
There is.
Yeah.
Because when they ask why, what they're saying is, you need to give me a good excuse of why you cannot do what I'm asking you to do. I could just have my, I just don't feel like fucking doing it. But if you say, I just don't want to fucking do it, you're an asshole. So, right. Hey, I don't want to do this either, but if you could do it for me, but I don't want to do it. But why? You should do it. So I don't have to do it because I don't want to. You do it. Fuck you.
He's super upset. Mm. Something must have happened recently because this morning I asked him a question. And he said, fuck you, that's why. I don't even... Oh, that's right. It was about, hey, why did you pour out the half and half? And it wasn't because I wanted to pour out the half and half. It was just pouring out.
That's another thing I want to bitch about. Stop eating rancid food.
You need to Google rancid because you're not doing it.
Look, I'm not going to spend after every podcast Googling everything I don't understand. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, motherfucker. If the shit is starting to grow shit, it's bad, and I pour it the fuck out.
Some dairy cultures are not bad. Some of them heal sick people.
Yes, but I'm not. When you buy milk or half and half and it becomes cheese, we're not that guys, and we don't make that. It's gross, dude. It was floating white chunks on the coffee.
No liquid should be clumpy.
Clumpy's anti-liquid.
All right. Wait,
that's from an engineer.
Anyway, that's not what he said to me this morning.
No, I said, fuck you. That's why I didn't need to explain bad milk to you.
I'm just going to start busting that out on stuff now. Fuck you. That's why.
Fuck you, that's why.
Oh, there's this, like me and my buddy started with the get your head out of your ass. We just started throwing that back around. Just do that. Do you tell people get their head out of their ass? It immediately changes their attitude.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, get your head out of your ass.
Because it immediately flips it right back to them.
Excuse me?
Yeah, ask a question about anything. Like, you know, like a,
hey, why'd you pour my milk out? Get your head out of your ass. It was bad.
Hey, did you replace the batteries in this remote? Get your head out of your ass. You're going through, yeah. It makes you, because you're immediately calling the other person stupid for even asking the question.
Yes.
Like, hey, do you want pizza? Get your head out of your ass. Of course I want pizza.
Well, if you want to get your head out of your ass and send us a story, something that pisses you off, or something you want to bitch about, or if you have a story where sex has just gone horribly wrong.
Or if you want to talk about how awesome Scott Bakula is.
Yeah,
yes,
you
all want, that. Also that.
Scott Bakula story
I would
you want
love to
tell
hear
us,
a Scott Bakula story.
Send it to us at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com, and we will read it on the air. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.